hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And here we go, right here on a Wednesday morning. We are going to get your day started off with the Word of God, and we pray that it will be a word that empowers you, enlightens you, and helps you to make godly decisions. That's what we are talking about, that God will deliver us from evil. We want to thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. We want to thank you if you're listening on WWBC 1510 AM or any of the transmitted signals, the frequencies that go throughout the county. There are several signals. I know the AM station has some other frequencies, some that reach South Brevard, some that reach Central Brevard, some that reach North Brevard, and you might even be listening online as well. Wherever or however you may be listening, we welcome you and thank you. Pray that you will hear something on this program that will benefit you greatly and that you'll be able to pass on something to other people. So I want to tell you just a little bit about Creative AC Solutions. We've been talking about Creative AC Solutions now for going on 7 years. We're in our seventh year of broadcast here in this time slot that you're listening to right now. There were times when we didn't know if we would make it this far. 6 months in, we didn't know if we were going to be able to continue to do the program or not. Our finances were going down, but God has proven faithful throughout that process. And the sponsors that I tell you about, they're not really so much just sponsors. I mean, you know, they believe in the radio program. Every one of them support the radio program to some extent. But it's really about us providing you options for dealing with businesses here in Brevard County that are not only members of the body of Christ, but that they are going to do a great job for you, and they have a heart for people. I know a lot of Christian businesses that, because they identify themselves as Christian businesses, they just automatically charge more money. And that's always kind of bothered me a little bit. I find God is a tremendous provider. So through the years, there's some businesses that I've done, you know, received quotes from, and many times the Christians would be the highest bid that came in, and it's like, wow. I mean, it wouldn't even be close. Creative AC Solutions with Bill Endreich, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. He is someone who has been blessing Merritt Assembly of God and providing great service to the listeners of the Refresh Radio program for a long, long time. And if you are in Central Brevard County, I want to encourage you to call him, 321-759-3284. Now, if you've got an AC guy that you are happy with and comfortable with, you know, God bless you. But if you have had people that tried to take advantage of you or didn't treat you well, or, you know, maybe they just were unreliable, give Creative AC Solutions a call, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284, and he will give you a timely piece of information and evaluation, and then you can make that decision from there. So there have been times that he told us at the church, Pastor Bob, I'm able to get this fixed this time, but you need to be working towards saving your nickels and dimes for a new system. And so we did. And I said, you know, we've saved our money. We've now got the money because we pay for everything as we go. And he said, the only thing I would ask you is, would you allow me to put that system in when it is not in the heat of summer? We were able to do that. We got to where we could put that system in the late winter, early spring, sometime like that. And so we had a system that was able to be in place. He is very, very good at what he does, and he will treat you great. 321-759. Let me make sure I get the right phone number there. 759-3284. I'd put my piece of paper away, and I just wanted to make sure that my memory didn't fail me. Memory don't fail me now. That's my words, and I'm going to stick to it. We're going to take you back to Proverbs chapter 6 today. Proverbs chapter 6. And I'm going to just begin reading at verse number 23 today. It says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes in to his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent." So yesterday we talked about the rhetorical questions in verse number 27 and 28. We also talked about the entering into a relationship with a person who is evil, who does not love God, and a person who uses their gifts of speech in order to compel a person to do something that they don't want to do, that God doesn't want them to do, that God would not be pleased with them for doing. And yet sometimes people have the ability to be persuaded by the words that other people use. Today we're going to pick up at verse number 25. It says, "Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids." So I will tell you that people have different definitions of what beauty is. Do you realize that if you go and study art history, that the physique that is considered to be an alluring physique now is completely different from the physique that was considered to be an alluring physique back in Renaissance times, per se. It changes. It changes from culture to culture. It changes, you know, sometimes it is facial features, sometimes it's physical features. But I will tell you this, all of that stuff looks about the same on a corpse that is decayed for a few hundred years. It all just looks like a bag of bones, if you will. It doesn't have any enduring qualities. So we need to allow the beauty of God's holiness to manifest in us. We need to allow him to make us beautiful in character so that it will be a way of causing a standout feature. And you know, Daniel and his companions, who became known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were grouped in with the same group of people, and they said, "Look, our relationship with God forbids us from eating the things that the king is setting before us." And the guy that was in charge of them said, "You know, you're putting me in a difficult place. If the king sees you looking worse than these other people, if he deems that you are not as handsome as these other people, that you are suffering physical inferiority to the rest of these people, and it's because I didn't set the right food before you, it could mean my life." And Daniel said, "I tell you what, you allow us to eat what we want to eat and then compare us with the rest of the people. And after that test period was over, the guy said, you all look better than what the other people. And so you just go ahead. Daniel, not only was his physical appearance better, but his wisdom was superior. So we cannot fall for the same trap that the world has to offer. And that's a, you know what? A person has got to be stunningly beautiful as the first check mark on the list. We've already established through programs earlier in the week that their relationship with God needs to be of the most preeminent importance. A person who is beautiful that does not have discretion. It is like a gold ring in a pig snout. It just doesn't fit. And I will tell you that through the years, people who have been deemed extremely beautiful by society have been placed in horrible, morally compromising positions that not only damages them physically, but it damages them emotionally. It causes them to realize that they don't consider themselves as worth as what God deems them as worth. Other people look down upon them. And listen, the devil will very much try and discredit a testimony very early in life so as to prevent future influence in the future life. And so you and I, we should not be enticed by people who don't have a love for the most important person in our life, and that is Jesus Christ. We should not allow their verbal skills to be able to persuade us, and we certainly shouldn't fixate on that which is temporal and deemed beautiful in the eyes of the world. There is nothing wrong with being, handsome or beautiful. There's nothing wrong with taking fantastic care of the body that we've been given. We are entrusted with the care of the temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to be doing as good a job with that as we can. But that should not be the basis for entering into a relationship with someone just because someone else deemed them beautiful. Okay? How beautiful, this is what the Word of God says, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news. You know, I've known some people that were naturally gifted with great genes, but they were miserable people. They were hateful people. And we, you don't want that. You don't want something that is fleeting to bring damage to you. It says, do not lust after her beauty in your heart. So a lot of people confuse the lust factor, the cravings factor, with the love factor. Okay? This victimizes both people. Okay? When there are people who are just entering into a relationship because the other person thinks that they're beautiful, and that person comes and says, you know what, you're just the next victim. So my wife has been actively involved in training up young ladies for the entirety of our ministry. And I heard something about a young lady that was in our church some time ago, and she went to school. They'd moved to a different area, and a gentleman had, or a guy had come up to her and said, you know, that he wanted to date her. And her response was this: "You don't know anything at all about me. We're not friends. You don't know anything about me. The only reason that you want to date me is because you think that I'm pretty, and that's not good enough for me to get into a relationship with you." And I was like, yes. I'm not looking for the Leahs of the world to be all that's in the body of Christ. There's nothing that said that Leah, you know, didn't have beautiful attributes about her as well. But Rachel was beautiful and miserable. Leah wasn't considered as beautiful as Rachel, but yet she had a relationship with God that in the end, Jacob found extremely pleasing. And at the end of his life, he could have dictated that he was going to be buried any place. He could have been buried next to Rachel, who was buried underneath a tree. He knew right where he had buried her. But in the end, he said, "I want you to bury me in the tomb where Abraham is buried and Sarah is buried. I want you to bury me where Isaac is buried, and that's where I buried Leah." Okay? So there are some people that if they don't deem you beautiful, you're not supposed to be beautiful. If they don't deem you cool, you're not supposed to be cool. I want to tell you, I'm much more concerned about what God has to say than what people have to say. It says, "Nor let her allure you with her eyelids." Now, you and we've got to grow up a little bit in the ability of willpower that we have to be able to say no to temptation. When I read this verse, I think of the person that uses the puppy dog eyes to try and influence their father. and any of my kids who are listening, they would be thinking very much of one particular child who has tried this strategy with me, many times. And I'll tell you, I was in sales. I faced rejection a lot more than I faced acceptance. And so I got immune to the sting of rejection. And so I have no problem telling somebody no. And so the puppy dog eyes don't work with me the way that they work with other people. I was in a conversation with a person one time. There was another person that knew them better. And we were having a conversation. It wasn't a moment of intense fellowship or anything like that. We were just talking, and they said something, and I responded, and it was kind of, I don't really agree with that. It wasn't, you know, just blatant like that. I just said something. And that person, who I have known, I just don't know him as well as this other person does. And they did this thing with their eyes. And it was done intentionally. It was designed to get you to come over to their position of understanding just because they did something with their eyes. And so when the conversation was over, I went to the person that knew them better than I did, and I asked them, I said, you've known this person a long time, right? And they said, yes. And I said this: were they a younger person, or were they a youngest child? And they said, yes. How did you know that? And I said, it was something that they did with their eyes. There. Now, I will tell you, I have horrible control over my facial muscles. You know, if you see a picture of me, I've never done drugs in my life. I've never been drunk. I've only had one sip of alcohol in my life. That was when I was a kid, and it tasted disgusting then. I've never wanted it. So I've never been drunk. I've never been high. But if you see pictures of me, you would see pictures that look like I've been on a 3-day drug binge, or that I am just drunk as a skunk, because I am not an actor. I do not have good control of my facial muscles. One time a person said, "And I can read you like a book." And I said, "Well, that's fantastic, because I'm a, you know, as when it comes to my expressions, I'm a reading school primer. I'm not a complicated novel. What you see is what you get. I don't have control of that. So, you know, sometimes my eyes are shut. Sometimes they're wide open like a deer in headlight. Sometimes they're half open, they're half shut. If you find a great, you know, a picture of me where my face is doing what it's supposed to, it's a miracle. It's just fantastic. So other people are gifted with the ability to raise their eyebrows, control their facial muscles, and all of that sort of stuff. And as long as it is used to just express, you know, what is going on with them at that point in time, that's all fine, well, and good. I find people who, you know, my wife can rapid fire wink, right eye, left eye. She can do that. My kids can do that. They all have just exceptional facial control, and I can keep my eyes open as long as we're not taking a picture. But the moment somebody, you know, winks with an eye to get you to do something you weren't supposed to do, or they try and start using that glance, some people will use the weeping of tears. Oh, you don't love me. You know, that's Delilah type tactics. That's manipulation. Anytime somebody begins to use their physical attributes to try and manipulate you, you need to take a step back and reevaluate that situation and say, is this what God wants for me? Verse number 6. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. The word of God here wants to deliver us from destruction, because any time a person is using the means of manipulation, whether it is through their character, through their speech, through their natural physical attributes, through, you know, the way that they look at you, the tactics that they use with their physical attributes, if they are using those techniques and those tools to reduce you instead of build you up, run. I don't tell my kids who and what my wife and I had people in our life that were trying to interfere with what God spoke to us. People, it wasn't her parents, weren't my parents. There were other people who were saying, you know, this is not right. This is not right. Well, you know, God had spoken to me. God had spoken to her. Her parents were okay. My parents were okay. Those are the 6 most important people in that relationship. You know, her parents, my parents, and her, and me, and God, I guess, so add 7. And so at that point in time, there were people who were trying to reduce our relationship instead of edify our relationship. So because of that, I never wanted to be the person who interfered with my kids' relationships, other than to, you know, if they ask me, you know, the input, then I would share with them. I said, here's what I can tell you. You got to make the decision, but I can tell you this is not of God, or I can tell you it is of God. But one of the things that I will tell you is that when there is a, I'm going to move from the negative to the positive here. When there is a godly relationship where there is unity, where there is peace, where there is love, where there is godliness, there is the ability for people to look at one another, not in a manner that is going to reduce them, but in a manner in which it is going to enhance them. Where that person looks at you and says, I am so in love with you. I am here to build you up. Together, God is going to make something beautiful out of this situation, and we are in this thing together. It is about edifying, not just an experience or not just going to reduce you. It says reduces to a crust of bread. I love bread. My wife loves bread, but I don't like croutons. It's like, that's what they do with the leftover bread a lot of times. Is they take it, that which is no longer fresh and it's dried, and they put it in an oven and they bake it, and it gets very hard and very crusty. And so if I'm someplace and they say, what do you want on your salad? I said, give me everything but keep the croutons. I'm not into the leftovers of life. I want the very best. It goes on and it says, not only will a person whose heart is far from God reduce you, but to something that is worthless, basically, but an adulteress or an adulterer will prey upon your precious life. Listen, if there's one thing that has come out of this coronavirus situation, it's people have once again seen how precarious life is and how precious it is. If you have considered your life precious enough to take steps, extraordinary steps, to make sure that you don't get sick so that you do not die, I want to encourage you, take the spiritual steps that are necessary, because your eternal life is even more precious than your physical life. God bless you. You have a great day. We will see you next time right here on the Refresh Radio Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Darkness flew, the morning broke in light and dew. When day had come again anew, all we sinners sang. In muck and mire, our wretched souls had fallen to the depths below. Hell deserved, but there was hope, all we sinners. Save.